It's Thursday, the 2nd of July in this holiday week. The holiday has started for many. It will start for those of us at WJR who have tomorrow off. And we'll have special holiday programming for you that I think will be well worth listening in for, so leave your radio on. Today, it's Relentless Positive Radio on this Thursday, July 2nd. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason, Queen of the Switches, Rich Luzinski, keeping an eye on our WJR traffic and weather first. If it's your birthday, happy birthday to you. You celebrate with, among others, Larry Burns. Remember Larry Burns? Yep, he did a lot of good work when he was around Detroit area. Tomorrow, Frank Zolinski celebrates, Frankie Z celebrates his birthday tomorrow. On the 4th of July, Lou Dickey, the guy who started Cumulus Broadcasting, from Toledo, Lou Dickey is celebrating his birthday July 4th. And Marie Kennedy, my sister Allison's best friend and my friend, too, we grew up across the street on Macomb Street in Monroe from the Kennedy family. That was always a eyebrow raiser when they said, "Where do you live?" I said, "Well, I live across the street from the Kennedys." I depended on that for a long time. It's like when I told Russ White he should sign off from the White House.
Oh, that's good.
And it worked. He's used it for years. I'm not sure I'm the first guy to tell him that. But
the Smith family summers in Monroe across from the Kennedys.
That's right. Not to be confused with Hyannisport. You know, it is, I'm not telling you something you don't know. I'm repeating everything we feel and see and hear and read about how hot it is. But I saw something today on one of the news shows that I had not thought about. You know, even though it's hot, people are going to take their kids out because the kids want to get out. Make sure everyone stays hydrated, the kids, the pets, the grandma and grandpas, the aunts and uncles, every mom and dad, everybody stays hydrated. But something I hadn't thought about, some guy was doing a story and he had one of those thermometers like they have when you arrive in China. They point it at your head. You think they're going to shoot you in the
head.
Right. But what they're doing is shooting for a temperature. And if you have a temperature, they don't let you arrive.
We had those in here during COVID.
In the radio station?
Yeah, look, Danielle's.
Oh, my gosh. I never saw those.
How'd I do? Okay. 97.5, I'm okay. Sounds a little low.
No, I think it's okay, though.
Okay, good.
But what this guy pointed out, and I hadn't thought about it, the park equipment is very hot for the kids.
Oh, yeah, like the metal
slides.
The metal slides and stuff, used to burn yourself on those, yeah.
You can really, your kids can really severely hurt themselves. So I hadn't thought about that. I'm sure moms and dads have, but that's something to think about.
You know, Paul, there are local water parks that are closing down because it's too hot. And you think to yourself, wait a second, is that where you're supposed to go when it's hot? But the concrete can get too hot for people to walk in bare feet. It would burn their feet. You know, like people waiting in line for concessions, they're not escaping the heat. So it didn't make sense to me at first, but then when they explained, I said, yeah, okay, I guess. Yeah, especially if you go from a cool pool to walking on hot concrete, that would be very tough on your feet.
Yeah, let's just say it's unusually hot, and that's going to call for some unusual, not regular reactions.
Right.
And one of them is find a place with air conditioning. I pray you have a home with that you're not like most of the Europeans who don't have air conditioning. And it didn't even occur to me at the time that in Paris, you know, they lost over 1,000 people to the heat, but they regulate the air conditioning because of climate change. I didn't realize that there are people out there crazy enough to be choosing to let people die to protect us from climate change.
Right. Seems counterintuitive.
That's just wrong. But, I mean, so is being a communist, and it's overrunning the country right now. Or at least it is being played up in the media like it's overrunning the country. It's working in the primaries. Will it work in the general election? I hope not, because more intelligent people will be voting. Let's see. Oh, Michigan and ABC's Ginger Z. You know who that is?
Oh yeah, the meteorologist.
She's going to be broadcasting. She's a Michigander or a Michiganian, and she's going to be broadcasting from the Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Yeah, I think she's from Grand Rapids.
Yes, right, so, or right outside of Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. as I understand it.
Metro Grand Rapids.
And so, so she'll be there at the Sleeping Bear Dunes, Lake Michigan, and I forgot where else. But, it, I mean, those are the places. And at Sleeping Bear Dunes, the people who are trying to save those dunes are thrilled to get the attention. All right.
Paul, Danielle actually has a suggestion for the show.
Yes, Danielle.
Go ahead, Danielle. Take it away.
So like you
cooling
remember-
music?
No. I mean, we could, but...
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah.
Remember yesterday when those beautiful people went up onto the Empire State Building?
Yes.
Well,
your
we,
words, not mine. Beautiful people. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there were some air traffic controllers that were discussing it, and they said the word geniuses. What are these geniuses doing? So I want you to put geniuses in with your bozo.
Oh, so
when someone's being silly,
I can't say stupid anymore.
Right.
But
no.
Now I can say what a genius,
yeah,
right.
Or what a bozo.
Yeah, and we'll know. So I want you to do that.
Just another word in your repertoire.
I think you know anything I can do to expand my very limited vocabulary, I'm all for. All for. By the way, that beautiful couple, as you put it, those geniuses who scaled the Empire State Building apparently make a living doing this. They're like Russian or something, and they travel around the world breaking laws and doing this. They are being charged. They face 8 charges.
Yeah.
What? Any idea what the list of charges would be besides stupidity? bozoness?
Being geniuses?
Being geniuses?
Yeah, I saw a list. I don't remember off the top of my head, but there's trespassing, criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and I don't know what the rest were, but... We were wondering about that, too, because we're like, what is the penalty for doing this other than maybe, you know, a trespassing charge? But some of these are felonies.
You endanger the lives of the police officers that unfortunately need to respond. Today, we will go through how Metro Detroit is celebrating America's 250th summer. There's a thing in the today's Detroit News, America at 257 historic sites to visit in Michigan.
Oh, cool.
But there is an event that I have been a part of, a very small part of, that my friend Eric the Voice Steiner has been a very big part of. And it is the Mackinac Island, the world's oldest consecutive stone skipping competition. And they are celebrating 57 years on Mackinac Island this weekend, July 4th. As America celebrates its 250th birthday. And I just wanted to give you a couple of days notice so that if you wanted to be there, you'll make plans. Taking place at Windermere Point Beach, it's a unique event blending authentic sportsmanship with old-fashioned fun, drawing crowds of spectators and competitors from the Guinness World Record holders to colorful newcomers. It's quite a spectacle, rain or shine. Crowds line the shore to witness the country's best skippers attempt perfect throws, some achieving, can you imagine, 40-plus skips across the sparkling waters of Lake Huron. Now, this is a lot of fun. It's gained national attention. It was featured on ESPN, The Ocho, with myself and the guy who got me involved, Eric the Voice Steiner. It's been on the national television. It's a big deal, and it's this July 4th again. I do have a sad note to add to this. I received a note from my friend that got me involved in the stone skipping, Eric, affectionately called The Voice Steiner. Dear Paul W., I wish I were writing to set up another date to be on your radio show to promote the Mackinac Island stone skipping competition, but after 28 wonderful years of doing the play-by-play, this year will be different. One of the greatest highlights of my time announcing the competition was all the fun you and I shared, especially our appearance together on ESPN's The Ocho. Those are memories I will always treasure. The note goes on from Eric Steiner. After 40 years of marriage and 7 years of dating my high school sweetheart, a total of 47 years together, I lost my Kathleen on June 18th. She was everything to me, my best friend, my wife, the mother of our children, the grandmother of 4 wonderful grandchildren. Her passing was sudden, completely unexpected. Mackinac Island was Kathleen's happy place. Some of our most cherished memories were made sitting on the porch of the Mackinac Island Yacht Club, watching the boats, visiting with friends, and enjoying the beauty of the island we love so much. So, my dear friend, I have one favor to ask. If you could, please say a few kind words on your show about the stone skipping competition. It has been such a special part of my life, and I know you'll help keep that tradition alive. I also want to thank you for every opportunity you've given me over the years to be on your radio show. Your friendship has meant more to me than I can ever express. I believe it's time for me to retire from doing play-by-play. After 28 years behind the microphone and the incredible honor of being inducted in the Stone Skipping Hall of Fame alongside you, Paul, it's time for me to spend the 4th of July with my family. Thank you, my friend, for everything. With gratitude, Eric Steiner. Eric, the voice Steiner. And what we have also learned is that his lovely wife, Kathleen, who has departed, had a favorite song. And I said we would play it going into our break. You might be familiar with Mr. Brightside. All right, we mentioned Ginger Z bringing her ABC network to northern Michigan and Sleeping Bear Dunes and Lake Michigan and such. And thanks to John Swicklett, Johnny on the spot, always on top of it. He let us know specifically that Ginger Z is from Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids. So I knew it was near Grand Rapids, but outside of it. So Rockford. There you go. As we continue here on this holiday week and heading into the holiday weekend, it's always a pleasure to welcome the former pastor congressman from the 5th District, the Republican Tim Walberg, to the show. Congressman Walberg, always a pleasure, sir.
Well, great to be with you, and happy 250th for a great country.
And I, for one, and I'm sure you too, love this country and am very proud to be an American. I know that the news media can't wait to tell us how many people don't think America would be around in 250 years, aren't proud to be an American, and all the rest of it. But I think there are plenty of us who are still those of us who really pay attention and understand what America is all about and what America has given to our own families, the opportunities. I think they still are proud to be Americans as well. But that's not what I wanted to talk about with you. 6 years to the day after the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement on trade took effect that President Trump worked out and loved because he thought it was a perfect deal, now says he's pulling the plug on it. He said it yesterday. What's going on? Do you know?
Yeah. I mean, the president worked very hard on that deal for the American manufacturer, as well as agriculture worker, farmer, etc., did a great deal. I mean, all three countries benefited from that, but definitely America was first and foremost in his mind. He also said at that time that it was open to renegotiating if any of the rules and agreements were broken. Well, in 4 years of Biden's administration, many of them were broken by both Mexico and Canada on agricultural issues as well as manufacturing, export issues, the like. And I think the president came in primed to say, listen, we're going to either get back on track or we are going to end it and go on a renegotiating again for another provision. So I think that's where he's at. Frankly, he's trying to bring businesses back here, reshore them, and he's doing a great job thus far. We've seen significant reshoring of businesses. In my district alone, folks like Colson Group, for instance, a caster and wheel manufacturer in Albion, they have plans to expand, creating more jobs. The workforce, Working Families Tax Cut Act that we passed, the One Big Beautiful Bill, preserved an estimated 9,000 jobs in my district alone, saving around $800 million in wages. So we don't want to go backwards with a USMCA that isn't following the guidelines as originally intended. And I think this is probably the way, you know, the way Trump works, and you've watched him longer than I. This is the shot across the bow saying Canada, Mexico, we are part of this Western Hemisphere. We want to work together, but we're going to work together. And that means abiding by the principles that were in the USMCA.
I haven't thought of this, but has the Gordie Howe bridge been also held hostage by this or just the other things that have come up along the way?
I think that very well could be. I think, again, negotiating efforts by the president, especially when he knows this is his last term and he wants to make something last, that could indeed be. I've not been in the negotiating room with any of his people or himself with the Canadian leadership, but it could be saying, listen, we know that we don't get any pay back in Michigan until the bridge is paid for, then we become part of it. In the meantime, we have no leverage unless you start working with us. So it could be. I can't say for certain, but this president will negotiate tough for America, and a lot tougher than most presidents have, and I think it's because he said we lost too much over the years, and I found out how much advantage we were being taken of by major countries that we assisted in rebuilding after wars, etc., or enemy countries like China that have told us that they're going to take over America, and we ought to believe them when the enemy tells us.
Absolutely.
So this president will not set back on his laurels, and tough negotiation sometimes looks strange to the rest of us because we're not involved with that. He is, and he's been successful.
U.S. economy added 57,000 jobs in June, less than expected at this point. Oil prices fell yesterday. Stock market went up every time he says that the U.S.-Iran talks in Qatar, which we're kind of not a part of, I guess, are going well. Any thoughts on that whole situation?
Yeah, well, we had a briefing from Secretary Rubio on, when was that, Tuesday afternoon. And it was illustrative of what's going on. And one thing that became very clear is that what we're hearing from CNN and other national news sources are generally talking points for Iran. And they aren't true. The negotiations are going on well. America still has taken the same position. We will not accept an Iran that does not turn over nuclear power to us. We will not have the Straits of Hormuz blocked by anybody. It's international waters. Nobody controls that. And we will have no proxies that are still funded by Iran going after our friends in arms in that region, including Israel. So that has not changed. There has been nothing given by the United States against our interests that we had not already stated we were willing to work with if Iran would hunker down and negotiate properly. Iran, when they put out the fact that they have agreed to certain aspects of the nuclear, I mean, that's nuts. What power do they have? They don't have a navy. They don't have an air force anymore. They can't take down our planes flying over or Israel's planes flying over. We have total command of the airspace, and we've shown it. And the president in his negotiation says, okay, we'll keep negotiating toward a settlement, but if you back away from that in any way that hurts us, you'll be sorry. And I think he's shown that so far.
The president has done many things in a different way than we might have usually expected. One of the reasons he was elected, I'm sure. I felt very uncomfortable watching him sell watches on television, frankly, watching our president selling watches. But I was really shocked, and don't exactly know where to go with this, to see that he's made $2 billion while he's in office. Does that rock you a little?
Well, we know that the president has had to turn over the administration of his investments to someone else. And that basically, I believe, has been his family, his boys, doing that work. They've been successful. He's been successful. There is nothing against any member of Congress or elected official still making money off investments, but it has to be done really with blindness to it. I know that Sue and I have 401K. We have investments. We have stocks. We have to follow the law. And most recently, we had some investments that we weren't aware of. And ultimately, we had to make an amendment, and we're okay. But we have somebody else do that for us. And that's what all of us ought to be taking care of our future. If we're elected official, we've got to keep a hand's distance.
Yeah, no question. All right. Pastor Wahlberg, once a pastor, always a pastor. And congressman, once a congressman, always a congressman, even if you leave. Pastor Tim Wahlberg, I'm calling upon you right now for a 250th anniversary, 4th of July blessing to somehow bring the country together for this.
Thank you for that. Father God, we come to you and thank you for the blessing of America, the blessing that came from us at the very inception, kneeling down after our framers and founders found that they weren't finding a way to conclusion of setting our government in place. And they went to their knees, and they asked for your guidance, knowing that this country couldn't succeed without your guidance. They accepted that guidance. They established a country that was based on freedom, that was based on a constitution that gave rights and liberties to all, and we thank you for that. We blessed not only ourselves, but the world. And God, help us to continue that, to not be selfish in any way, shape, or form, not be willing to sacrifice for the best of this country and for the future of this country, but in turn to also acknowledge the fact that the basic traditional principles we were established on, that really came from you, blessed us. May we continue those and ultimately see us expand beyond 250 years like no other empire in the world has ever done. May we be able to do it because we honor you. And it's the name of Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Amen.
Pastor, Congressman Tim Wahlberg, to you and your wife, Sue, I hope you have a very special, meaningful 4th of July, 250th birthday celebration. I know you will. Thank you, sir.
To you and your listeners as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you as we continue and focus on WJR. You know it's hot out there, so hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Just a reminder, look out for your kids, your grandparents, parents, everybody you know. Reach out to them, make sure they're okay, don't need any help, and your pets as well. The heat is a killer out there. We want to keep everyone as safe as we can, especially over this holiday. And please, you know, be very careful with fireworks. We have the professionals that do it. The parade company, the Ford fireworks are spectacular. Communities have their own fireworks. Doing fireworks is a very dangerous thing. Leave it to the experts. I know you feel you are great at it and you've done it well, but every year we come back and somebody's lost a finger, an eye, or worse. So please, please. And with the dry conditions and heat, they're going to set houses on fire if they're misguided. State Senator Jim Runstedt is here, 23rd District, Chairman of the Michigan GOP. Michigan's legislature missed its self-imposed July 1st budget deadline yesterday with no agreement reached. I'm wondering, State Senator Runstedt, welcome back, Paul W. here. Do the negotiations remain active as they were yesterday?
Well, thank you for having me, Paul W. Yes, the negotiations are active, and I'm here watching out for, as you mentioned, the kids, the grandkids, and the parents here in the state of Michigan on this budget process. So far, what we're hearing, and we're not hearing a lot because there's literally almost zero transparency in this process. So we've not seen a single thing. We're supposed to vote today, but we have not seen a single thing. Apparently, from what we're told, is that the budget is smaller. That would be good. There's no a tax increase or rainy day fund raid. So those are some things wanted by the governor that were not are not going to be in the budget, from what I understand. So those are some of the good things. Some of the bad things are that there's a boatload of bills that are policy bills that the House, Senate, and governor are all negotiating that they want through. And again, we don't know what those are. And secondly, there is a boatload of what I will call pork barrel projects that legislators are going to want to run through. I remember when the Democrats had a majority, we put through $1 billion in pork barrel projects. That's when you had all the just massive corruption, like the $4,500 coffee maker, the $20 million grant to a company that didn't exist, and another $20 million grant to another company that didn't exist, a health farm or something. So that's what happens when you get to this last minute. We were supposed to have this done July 1st and still not done. And then when they gush everything out at the last second, they slap, 1,100 pages in front of you. Read this, and we're going to be voting in a couple hours. So it's just a terrible process.
Yeah, but I'm told you're in better position than last year when you also had a July 1st deadline, self-imposed, but the final budget was not passed until October 3rd.
Yeah, it's, again, the devil's in the details on how this process is going to work. Is there going to be an agreement? I don't know for sure that that's going to happen. Hopefully we will, and particularly the schools have to have some idea of what their budgets are going to be, because they're now planning for all of next year. So
sure,
they need to know, what is the money that we're going to have to work with? And when they don't have that, it really is destructive. So at the very least, we should have the school aid budget passed today. Hopefully the whole thing will get through. But I'll tell you, when you've got a boatload of policy bills that they're negotiating that they want through, and all these members wanting all these pork barrel projects, it could fall apart. We'll see.
All right. Something else while we have you here. State Senator Jim Rundstedt, the 23rd District, chairman of the Michigan GOP. You've been very outspoken and come up with your own idea and plan regarding data centers. Obviously, you're urging caution and scrutiny, but tell us your thoughts on that, your stand and your suggestion.
Yeah, I would say it's one of the biggest issues I've seen since I've been in office, and certainly the most bipartisan issue I have seen since I've been in office that is controversial. So I would say it's probably, and the studies have shown, somewhere around an 80-20 issue. I don't know who the 20% are who want a data center put in their backyard with no guardrails. I don't know who the 20% are. It might be a 90-10 issue. But what's happening is these are springing up, and your listeners may not have heard yet, but they better check their planning and building committee. They may have one coming up real soon, oftentimes with what's called an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, meaning that they're meeting with the locals. They're not telling you about it. You're not finding out about it. Oftentimes it's fast-tracked to the planning and building, and you don't even hear about it then. Because
wait a minute. How do you, in a position of power, allow people who want to build something anywhere get away with having people sign NDAs so that other people aren't aware of it?
Oh, yeah. Not only aware of it, but who's getting what? I mean, who's getting paid up? Whose property is being purchased? I mean, it's horrendous. I've not supported NDAs. I've co-sponsored bills to get rid of them. There are billions and tens of billions of dollars floating all over the place at the fastest pace I have ever seen something go. Once these are built in your backyard, you've destroyed that. If in 2 or 3 years they overbuild, which I hear is going to happen, now a lot of these are going to close up. Now you got that big, gigantic monstrosity in your backyard. There's tremendous noise or water resources used. By the time communities oftentimes find out about it, the locals have agreed or they started the process. Now they go after the community. They're going to sue the community if the community tries to put the brakes on it. So, yeah, I asked for a year moratorium. I put a bill in to that effect. The Democrats who sing, we need a moratorium, and sit dead in the death committee, as everything they seem to talk out of the side of their mouth. Oh, we shouldn't have these data centers being put in, but they're raising millions of dollars on it. And so when I put in that moratorium, let's just pause this. We need development. We need to have good infrastructure and IT, but let's do it right. Nope, they want this thing fast-tracked. They put in a series of bills that We'll deal with over many years. We'll study stuff that isn't going to do anything. You got to pause this thing so we can get control on it. By the time their bills even get hearings, if they ever do, this is all going to be built out. And it's really catastrophic for these local communities that don't get any input until the train's on the track, and then they can't stop it.
State Senator Jim Rumsfeld, 23rd District, Chairman of the Michigan GOP. Always a pleasure having you on, sir. I hope that you enjoy this 4th of July, 250th birthday celebration of these great United States of America.
Thank you, Paul. Same to you.
Thank you, sir. We continue in focus at 1243 on WJR. Always look forward to talking to Nicky, Nick Lundberg, the Nickster. Nick Lundberg, fine MSU grad, one of their best. Also WJR digital sports reporter, one of our best. What a soccer game last night, football as they call it. The U.S. beats Bosnia. It's the U.S. 2, Bosnia 0, and the refs minus 1.
A lot of U.S. fans will agree with you on that, Paul.
Nick, I don't know nothing about nothing, but I know that was not an intentional foul. I don't think it was even a yellow card, let alone, and nothing was called on the play. They had to go back and study a video, and then they misread that and gave him a red card, which means one of our guys not only had to leave the game, but can't play in the next game.
Definitely. And I mean, this player is one of the U.S.'s best next to Christian Pulisic. Balogun has been our top goal scorer throughout this whole tournament and had a great game yesterday, had a goal wiped off in the first couple minutes for being offside and then got it back in the 45th minute. But yeah, like you said, that unfortunate incident in the second half led to the red card, which will not allow him to play in the next game, the round of 16 against Belgium on Monday, which is very unfortunate because, I mean, this guy has just been carrying the team and there was a lot of controversy with it. It seemed like he incidentally stepped on his ankle, but the refs seemed to think that there was a little bit more to it. It was kind of a dangerous play with those, you know, metal studs they have on the cleats and looked like it kind of hurt the Bosnians player, his ankle. But unfortunately, they called a red card, and it will definitely be a tough task ahead without their top goal scorer, Balogun.
Well, Nick, you saw it. You know sports way better than I do. I did not see anything intentional on Balogun's part. I mean, he was going for the ball. They were both going for the ball. And then they both went down. And as they were going down, I mean, he wasn't looking down at his feet. He was falling. And his foot happened to land on the bent foot of the other player. But in no way, shape, or form did it appear to be intentional at all. And that's the only way you could come up with a yellow or red card. And yet, that wasn't the case here.
Definitely. It definitely seemed like incidental contact. And like you said, they both kind of came up on the ground, at the same time. And I think that, you know, giving him a yellow card in that spot wouldn't have been the worst call just because of it looked like the severity of how he kind of touched his ankle. But a red card there, I mean, in my opinion, I really think that shouldn't have been called. And it really, you know, puts a damper in that win yesterday because you're going to have to look forward to a really good Belgium team who just had a crazy comeback yesterday. And, you know, like I said, without Balogun, it's going to be real tough to get past them and make it into the final eight teams.
Well, I'm not giving up, but I am very thrilled for the Americans getting into the final 16, as Kim calls it. The Sweet 16. I said, no, honey, that's been used already. But they get into this final 16. How long has it been since we've done that?
2002. So it's definitely been a long time coming for this squad.
And how do you think we're going to do, all things considered? I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I want Balogun to play, but I don't expect this the league to come out and make a statement. But who knows? But so let's presume they're not going to come out and say that shouldn't have been a red card and he can play. How are we going to do?
So the betting odds actually seem to favor the U.S. slightly in this game coming up against Belgium. But obviously over the history of the U.S.'s, how they fare in the World Cup and their history with it. They've struggled against teams like Belgium. They got knocked out in the same round in 2014 back in that World Cup. So it's a different Belgium team now. They're a little bit older. Some of their top guys are, you know, kind of on the way out. And the U.S. is very talented. This is one of the most talented U.S. rosters they've had. And maybe in their entire history, Christian Pulisic leads the way. He's Captain America, the LeBron James of soccer, as they like to call. So he will be on the field, which is great news. And they've got some other guys, Weston McKennie, Anthony Robinson. Malik Tillman scored a goal yesterday on a wonderful free kick to seal the game. So they definitely have enough skill to get past Belgium and potentially move on to playing Spain, which would be a crazy, crazy game, especially if Balogun can come back. We all know how good Spain is. But I think the U.S. has a good shot. They're just going to have on next Monday, 8 p.m. in Seattle against Belgium, especially with the home crowd. I mean, the crowds this year have been amazing for the U.S., and I think that can push them enough if they grind it out against Belgium next Monday.
All right. Remind me about the home crowds here in just a moment, but I'm just going to say, you mentioned what, the penalty or free kick, whatever. I didn't realize, I figured it out last night when we had that great kick and scored, that the guys line up, the opposing team lines up as a wall, but they can't raise their hands to block the ball as it goes over their heads.
Yes, that is correct.
I had never known that to be the case. And I also noticed that most of them cover their family jewels just in case, because they're so close to the kick, in case the kicker doesn't kick it over their heads, I guess.
I mean, if I was out there, I would do the same thing. So I don't blame them.
Okay. All right. How's everything else going? Nick Lundberg with us, WJR Digital Sports Reporter. How are things at your MSU?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, turnover kind of coming with the president and the athletic director. So kind of looking forward to seeing who can step in and replace, you know, those two. We're still looking forward to a Tom Izzo statement about this whole situation. And, you know, whenever Izzo speaks, you have to listen as a Spartan. So I think that he'll shed some light on, you know, all this news with the administration that's been happening. But I think that, you know, we've got such a good leader in Izzo that he'll, you know, help steer the ship and, you know, right the way. And then coming into football season, that's always an exciting time on campus. The students will be coming back. And so I think once they kind of, you know, get through the summer lull a little bit, get back, students back on campus, find their president, find their athletic director, kind of figure that situation out, I think that the vibes will be high in East Lansing for 2026, 2027.
I, too, look forward to hearing anytime Iz wants to speak, Tom Izzo. But it's a lot of pressure on him, and I feel bad for him. This is just so many things going on that he just – I know he's uncomfortable with many of the things going on. I tell you what, I don't mean to put you in a bad position, so I'll just say it. I think bringing Mark Hollis back as MSU athletic director would be a stroke of genius. You need somebody there that remembers what MSU is all about, what it stands for, and how great it can be. And certainly Mark Hollis remembers that and could, I think, help them get back to that.
I agree. MSU is desperately needs some stability right now, and Mark Hollis has had success in the past as the athletic director. And, I mean, they went to Final Fours, they went to the Rose Bowl, and that, I feel like that would be good just to kind of stabilize, you know, everything that's going on at MSU right now.
I agree with you, not 100%, but 1,000%. I haven't pulled that nugget out in a while. Hey, have a wonderful 4th of July. You be careful, Nicky.
I will.
Nick? Where'd Nick go?
Oh, no, just as you told him to be careful.
Oh, I told him to be careful, and he fell off. Okay, he's a young man, and I don't want him out there doing fireworks or drinking too much. I don't know if he even drinks at all. But anyway, Nick Lundberg, the great Nick Lundberg, WJR digital sports reporter, one of MSU's finest graduates. As we continue in focus on what will be our Friday with Relentless Positive Radio, special programming for the 4th of July tomorrow, but we've got another hour to go here in focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Hour number two on this Thursday, July 2nd, Relentless Positive Radio. Well, you're on your way to making each and every day count, because you know each day is a gift. We also want to thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Don't just take it from me. That's the truth coming from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. Once again, choosing this radio station under the direction of Steve Fenateri, Ann Thomas, Mike Wheeler, and the team, Jeff Marcereau. The best within the sound of my voice. You won't find a better radio station as deemed by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. Supreme Court has wrapped up one of its most consequential terms in recent years, issuing rulings that reached into nearly every corner of American life. We'll be talking about that for a long time to come. We'll agree and we'll disagree on various findings. America at 250. And I'm going to see if Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, any of them have gone to any of these places. The team.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm going to give a few of the historic sites listed in today's Detroit News. Have you been to Fort Mackinac?
Yes, I have. Wait, yeah. Is that the one on the island or the mainland?
I believe that's the one on the island up on the hill near the governor's mansion.
Yes. I have huffed and puffed and struggled my way up that hill.
And I hear Danielle trying to get a word in edgewise.
No, I'm just saying yes in unison with him.
Oh, okay. And Rich is off somewhere playing in traffic. Okay. I've been to Fort Mackinac also. Have you been to historic Fishtown?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Fishtown is fun.
I've never knowingly been there in the Leelanau Peninsula.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
The Leland River?
Yes.
All this making sense to you. You've
yes.
done all this.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
In the winter, but I still did it.
Well, you did it. I've never done it. Have you done it, Mike?
No, actually, we've been meaning to go there because we used to go to Traverse City all the time and we missed it. And then I saw a picture of the place. It looks really cool. So next time we go to Traverse City, we plan on heading over to Fishtown.
I won't go to Fishtown because I'm afraid they'll make me bait hooks.
Right. That's only if you skip out on a check at a restaurant.
And you know, I used to love fishing. But let's face it, when you put the fish on the hook, it squirms around like crazy, even though I was assured since I was a little kid they didn't feel anything.
Right.
And I say, well, if they don't feel anything, why are they squirming around like I would squirm around if somebody stuck a hook in me?
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, by the way, Michigan and ABC's Ginger Z at the Sleeping Bear Dunes. And where did John Swickler say she's from, just outside of Grand Rapids?
Rockford. Yes.
And she's going to be at the Sleeping Bear Dunes, and she's featuring Traverse City. So God bless you, Ginger Z, for not forgetting your home. All right, historic Fort Wayne.
No, I've driven by it a bunch of times, but I didn't know it was open as a...
I never thought of it that.
It's by Del Rey, but it's kind of nestled between a whole bunch of those factories and around Del Rey.
It at one time served as housing for displaced Detroiters from the Great Depression to the conflicts of 1967.
Wow.
Historic Fort Wayne. How about Mission Point Lighthouse?
Yes.
Oh, good. You guys got that together. It was beautiful.
We've been practicing.
Just as we rehearsed it, hours before the show that we get together to go every square inch of the program. All right. Keweenaw National Historical Park.
I don't think so. That doesn't sound familiar to me.
No.
Located in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. See that alone. I mean, you go to the Upper Peninsula.
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes.
You forgot?
Yeah. Because
but
I went to
I said
so
Upper
many
Peninsula,
places.
Yeah, well, that'll strike you, you know. That's a fur piece. That's a trip. Mm. People can't believe how far away the Upper Peninsula really can be.
Right. And then
we used to broadcast from there a couple of times.
Is that's the one at the way, way top of the Upper Peninsula, isn't it?
Located in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, this National Historical Park explores the heritage of copper mining on the Keweenaw Peninsula, including its mines, consists of two separate units, Quincy and Calumet.
And I went to Calumet.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, closer to home, Fairlane.
I think so. There is that that's the Henry Ford Mansion
the Henry Ford Estate at Fairlane, built in 1915 for Ford Motor Company founder Henry Ford, his wife Clara. It's where they lived for more than 30 years. In fact, that's where Henry Ford died.
Yeah, I believe that's on the campus of Henry Ford Community College. Mm-hmm. And I've never been inside, but I've walked. The grounds are huge. Yes. I mean, you can walk the grounds.
You know what the square footage of the house is?
No.
31,770 square feet.
They have a bowling alley. There's a bowling alley in there.
Well, there's room to have a whole bowling alley taken off the street somewhere with 50 lanes.
Correct. And then they replaced the pool and put like a dining room so you can eat in there now.
So you've been inside it, Danielle?
Yes.
It's always under reconstruction to me.
There is also a park across the street that you can walk and look at it from across the river, which is really nice.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Named a National Historic Landmark in Michigan in 1966, closed as it undergoes extensive renovations, its gardens are still open for visitors to explore. You know, it had 56 rooms. Do you ever wonder, as I do, when I see some of these homes, do you think, I honestly believe there might be rooms that the owners have never been in.
Right.
I mean, I really believe that. I saw a picture of one of the founding members of the Beach Boys, of course, Mike Love, our dear friend Mike Love, is selling his castle for like $46 million. And I looked at that thing and I thought, it's just he and his wife, their eight kids or whatever, long gone. I bet they like almost are like camping out in one small section of that house. And it's been years since they've been to some of the other sections of the house. I'm just saying that. I don't know.
Right. What do you put in all of those rooms?
I don't know. You know, Hoot McInerney had a really big house on the Bloomfield Hills Country Club. And people used to stop at his house because they thought it was the clubhouse. They really did. They'd stop and say, can I get a couple of lemonades?
So then they called the police.
Hoot being the smart businessman, he set up a lemonade stand. No, he went to his friend Archie, Art Van to the rest of us.
Oh.
He went to Archie and said, according to Hoot, go ahead and just decorate every room in this house like the pages in your magazine. And wow. So they did.
Knock yourself out.
And it was not cheap.
No.
I can tell you that, even though there was a sale.
Right. Archie and Hoot. I mean, that sounds like a cartoon or a comic strip or something.
They were a couple of characters, I'll tell you that. They were a couple of characters. You know, I don't know if we have characters like that anymore, do we?
I'm sure you can. I don't know.
I don't know either.
In 50 years, that's what people are going to be saying about us. Oh, they were characters back then.
Oh, it'll be fascinating what it'll be like 50 years from now. Gee, I hope I'm still on noon to 2. I don't want to go back early.
Yeah. you might be moved from noon to 9 to noon.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot about some of the things here.
That's all right. We've got a little time at the end of the show to get
Well, we're
going to
talk about, this coming up next, Kristen Jordan Sheamus, the health reporter for the Free Press, going to talk about this this spike in this illness caused by parasites.
Yeah.
Yikes.
My first question to her when I get her on the phone is, how do we pronounce this thing?
Yeah, I don't. You notice I didn't say it because right. I don't know. I don't know. Cyclosporiasis or something. I don't know. We'll ask her. Anything else? New York prepares for Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce wedding. What, I don't get that. That was supposed to be a secret, and it's featured in the national news every night with details.
Right.
So this, what if she ends up getting married in Las Vegas at one of those Vegas 24-hour marriage places? Yeah. By Elvis. I mean, she could throw us a curveball on this because we seem to know too much about it already.
Danielle has been following this, and so far she's been spot on about everything.
Also,
what do you say, Danielle?
So this is what I found out last night, and this is what people are saying, that she is going to recreate the Love Story music video, which happened in a castle inside Madison Square Garden. I saw video footage yesterday of these ginormous, like, I don't know if they're paper mache or what, these ginormous fake trees. And there was a whole truck of fake trees. So I don't know what she's doing, but I want to see it.
I first of all, no one can have their phone with them, so no pictures.
I know.
But I guarantee there's a professional photographer, and who can blame them if they sold the rights to People for $1 million or whatever, $10 million, whatever they would do. So I'm sure we'll see it. But I have read several places that they are recreating a castle.
Yes.
In Madison Square Garden.
Yep, just like Love Story, that music video.
I'm not familiar.
I'll
send
it to you. It's okay.
Okay, good. Thank you. quick note here that I wanted to get to and never got to talk about. My dad, God bless him, we just didn't have the money to stop at all the places that we, the kids, would say if we were lucky. We had one vacation because Grandma Edna rented from the Wades, our relatives. They rented two cottages on Bear Lake. That was our big vacation for a few years growing up in Monroe. And we would pass, you know, the cheese place and the shell place with the man-eating shell, all that stuff. And my dad would never stop, but he did stop. I don't know how or why, but we stopped at Mystery Hill. And I see in the news today, it's 74 years old, and somebody just bought Mystery Hill and are going to bring it back to all its glory. And I am thrilled to hear that. Did you ever go to Mystery Hill?
No, but I've been to its sister mystery spot in the UP because the Mystery Hill has been closed down for as long as I can remember. But
We
need to take a trip there, whether it's remote or just for fun.
We could broadcast from Mystery Hill.
Upside down.
Upside down and not even know it. They defy gravity. It's worth seeing. We're going to get that guy on. We got to get the new owner on.
Okay, I'll track him down.
And find out what his plans are. But I just love to see new owner continues 74-year legacy of Mystery Hill. The one place Dad, William D., did pull over and let us experience a long time
and
ago.
And we'll definitely go.
I would love that. All right, what the heck's going on with this gastrointestinal parasite? Where's it coming from, and what can we do to avoid it or treat it? We'll find out up next in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. You think this is possible? Keith Newell, who weighs in on the show, said, we were talking about how many rooms people have and if they don't really go into all the rooms. He said, I had a branch manager that lived in Palmer Park. He had 10 bedrooms. Years later, he opened a closet door and found two more bedrooms and a bathroom.
Oh, jeez.
Well, the good news is nobody ever had to clean it, but my goodness gracious, that's something. You think it's true? It sounds true. Keith would not lead us astray.
Yeah, I believe him. As far as I know, I am aware of every house, every room in my house.
I guarantee you I'm aware of every room in my house. Anyway, all right, a couple of things here. Remind me to do the little contest coming up shortly here. I was about to do it now, but we've already taken some of Kristen Jordan Seamus's time, and I want to get this fine health reporter from the Detroit Free Press on with Paul W. Smith in Focus. Kristen, welcome.
Thanks for talking with me today about this.
Well, it's my pleasure. You're talking about this cases of gastrointestinal parasite that's growing very quickly in our area. I think it's pronounced cyclosporiosis or something like that.
Yeah, I think maybe it's cyclosporiosis.
Cyclosporiosis, okay.
But, you know, what it comes down to is it's caused by a parasite, and we can call that parasite cyclospora. That might be easier, right?
Okay.
And it causes a pretty awful-sounding, explosive, watery diarrhea. And right now we've got at least 225 cases in Michigan affecting 21 counties and the city of Detroit.
Is this unusual? I mean, is this something that we deal with every year and I just haven't thought about it? Or is this like on the rise? Or what's going on here?
So there are cases occasionally. A lot of them come from people who travel to places where this parasite is pretty endemic. You know, some of the subtropical and tropical regions of the world have this parasite in contaminated water and in some of the different environmental areas. And then people pick it up if they don't wash their hands, for example, or if they don't wash produce and there's fecal contamination. So if you travel to those areas and you happen to get this parasite, that's not uncommon. And occasionally we get outbreaks here in the United States that involve produce that is grown in those endemic areas and then is sold here in the U.S. and people eat it without realizing that it's contaminated.
I would worry about, I've always worried about this, but I'm a worrier. For example, things that are called organic, I think of them as being particularly suspect for this kind of contamination, fecal contamination, being quote-unquote organic, not using chemicals, not using chemical fertilizers, but using manure and whatever they might be using. But I am concerned that people going into the 4th of July are going to be finding themselves eating food at other locations. This has happened in restaurants, from what I understand.
Yes.
So I'm not sure how we can protect ourselves.
Well, and that's the thing. So what it comes down to is really being careful if you buy fresh produce, if you eat fresh produce, to make sure you're washing your hands before you even touch that produce. And then again, wash those fruits and vegetables really thoroughly under running water. Even if they're labeled pre-washed, you know, the CDC says you don't have to wash them again at home. Maybe it's not such a bad idea.
I saw that. I'm glad you brought that up, Kristen. I saw that in the report. Yeah. Fruits and vegetables that are labeled, quote, pre-washed do not need to be washed again at home. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, it can't hurt, right? It just
yes.
might help.
So. Wash them. Wash them. Don't trust that they've been pre-washed properly elsewhere. And by the way, I don't know if you cover this in your study, Kristen Jordan Seamus, health reporter at the Detroit Free Press. You know, we're getting inundated with ads for these fruits and vegetable cleaner sprays. Don't eat these fruits. Don't eat these vegetables until you spray this on them and rinse them off. Do those things really work? Are those good? Do you know?
Well, you know, what most health officials say is just use running, clean, fresh water. They're not saying use any of these pre-wash substances. I don't know what's in all of these different things that are being marketed as cleaner fruits and vegetables. I certainly couldn't vouch for them. Most health officials say the best thing to do is to scrub them with a clean produce brush, fresh water, and just get that running water on them and clear off whatever might be on the fruits and vegetables.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to repeat what you said earlier, and Grandpa Harry, may he rest in peace, lived to be 140 years ago. Washing your hands, that was a big deal. He washed his hands all the time. He made sure when we were over there to make breakfast together or to eat breakfast, whatever, he would say, go wash your paws. So washing your hands with soap and water before and after handling or preparing raw fruits and vegetables, and just doing it on a regular basis, I think, is one key to better health. What happens if you think you've been infected by the cyclospora problem?
Sure. So what you should do is definitely see a doctor or another medical provider, like a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant, and make sure that you are tested. They would test a stool sample, and they can send that test out. The Michigan Bureau of Labs at the State Health Department can run those tests, and then they can determine whether or not for sure you have been infected with this parasite.
Has there been?
If you have, they can treat it.
Beautiful. Has there been any talk, Kristen, about this parasite lurking around in our lakes? Since a lot of people will be going to lakes. You haven't?
No, it's really not something that is endemic or found in our fresh water here in Michigan. It's
good.
Something that really is imported from tropical areas.
And let me ask, since I have you here, and you never want to be interviewed by a hypochondriac like me, but I am told that if I eat sushi, which I haven't had lately, but I do love sushi, that I'm getting parasites. But that if I eat pumpkin seeds, that would kill the parasites. Is that true?
I can't speak to that.
You're laughing at me. You're laughing at me. That's okay, though.
I'm laughing at you. I have no idea about, you know, pumpkin seed efficacy for wiping out parasites. I wish I could say with authority that would work.
I love that you can't and that you admit it. God bless you for that. Have a wonderful 4th of July, Kristen. We'll talk
again
if you'll come back. We'll talk again. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Take care.
Kristen Jordan Seamus, health reporter for the Detroit Free Press, scratching her head right now saying, was he serious about that? Yes, I was. I am generally a serious guy at 1:30 on WJR. I'm a proud American. Happy to say I'm a proud American, though the news media breathlessly tells us how people aren't very much happy to say they're Americans or whatever. Or we're not going to be around for another 250 years, all those things. I'm very proud to be an American and happy and realize that when I say to myself sometimes, man, I wish I could win the lottery. Like I got a note the other day, I won $8, and I go, $8? The amount of money I've invested, at least I can say I've invested in our schools. But I did win the lottery. I was born in the United States of America. That's a big lottery win, and I'm proud of it. And proud that I had grandparents on one side of the family that spoke perfect English and could they could follow their heritage back to the Mayflower. And then on my mother's side, grandparents who struggled with English as a second language and could go back as far as the boat they came on from Lebanon. I think that's helped make me be a thankful American. Jocelyn Benson, our great Secretary of State and Democrat gubernatorial candidate, is on the line checking in. Madam Secretary, happy 4th of July to you.
Happy 4th of July, Paul. That's a beautiful reflection on how lucky we are to live in this country, in a place where the American people rule the day, where the power of the people rules the day. I, too, am so proud to be an American and enjoying celebrating our 250th. Over the next few days, we release a special license plate at the Department of State to commemorate this year, and it's always inspiring to see people driving around the state honoring the 250th anniversary of our union, of our country. And I agree, it's a reminder that even in our differences, we can still find ways to come together.
Absolutely. The fact that we can have differences is what America is all about. And I love the fact, Jocelyn Benson, that you were raised in a middle-class family, the wife of a veteran, the mom of a 10-year-old kid. You do understand what lots of people are going through regarding their bills and budgets and those kitchen table issues. You have lived them. And now you're talking about launching a costs-down, wages-up statewide tour. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, everywhere I go in Michigan, and we're on day two of this statewide tour, I hear stories about families struggling to make ends meet and how too often government's kind of showing up where we don't want it and nowhere where we actually need it. And Secretary of State, as you know, I've tried to streamline how government works so it's actually showing up to reduce costs. And I want to, as governor, invest in economic growth so that we're driving up wages as well. You know, we've got some of the lowest per capita income in the nation. And with costs skyrocketing on everything from gas to healthcare to housing, with stagnant wages, it's untenable for everybody, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. I'm going to be a governor who works with everyone to try to drive down costs, make government work better, and also invest in growth in our economy so that we're driving up wages and creating more opportunity for all.
Quickly, I know that the mail-in ballots has been a topic of discussion and arguments, obviously. You have supported it all along, and now the Supreme Court is indeed allowing states to count mail-in ballots that arrive late, rejecting the RNC challenge. And let's face it, if I think they have to have it sent or postmarked by Election Day, and then, look, it's a crapshoot as to when they're actually going to arrive. That's just the way the mail service is these days. But are you pleased with the results?
Well, I appreciate a decision that at the federal level reaffirms state elections because that is really our Constitution. That is a win for that. And I think, yes, we have to ensure we get those ballots in early. The law requires them to be postmarked by Election Day. But what this is really about are military service members is serving overseas, who oftentimes do send their ballot in well in advance of Election Day, but sometimes it doesn't get received until a few days after. So as someone who, you know, my husband was serving in Afghanistan in 2012 during the presidential election, and we lived through this ourselves, where he mailed his ballot back and he actually wasn't received in time and it didn't count. That is heartbreaking to experience as a military spouse. So I'm really glad for our military service members in particular, if they do everything right and get their ballot in on time and it just arrives the day after Election Day or the second day after Election Day, we can still count it. But again, those ballots are rare. It's very, you know, we're talking about a few hundred, if that, in any given statewide election. So it's not a significant number, but it does ensure those military service members don't see themselves disenfranchised because of failures in the U.S. Postal Service.
Our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, with us in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. She is also the strongest, at this point, Democrat gubernatorial candidate. She's the leader by all of the polls. She would be the first to tell you she's not backing down just because of polls. She's full steam ahead with her big statewide tour and all that's going on. Luckily, you're not ever going to run for Secretary of State of California, but what would you have done as a Secretary of State to make it so that we don't stand around for days and days and days waiting for the California vote to be counted and submitted?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we as soon as possible and also be very transparent with the public about what's happening as you're counting those ballots. Because sometimes you have them all counted and you just can't release them until they go through all the checks and balances. And you need to be really transparent and upfront with the public so they understand, if you don't receive those results within a few hours of the polls closing, why we have to wait. And that's what I would do differently.
Okay. You broke up a little bit at the beginning, but we get the point. Anything else you want to say, Madam Secretary?
No, but thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me. Happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, stay safe, stay hydrated, and leave the fireworks to the pros.
Okay. Will do.
Not that you were planning on sending off a bunch of rockets.
I wasn't, but I will. I'll keep that in mind if I ever do.
Okay. I'm older than you. I give advice. I can't help it. And I worry for everybody. So thanks so much for being with us, Madam Secretary. Good luck.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, the leading Democrat gubernatorial candidate. And we thought we would touch base going into this great holiday. And I'm happy to hear that she is proudly celebrating America's 250th. You wouldn't think I'd have to ask that, but these days, there are so many people out there that are not. And there are so many socialist, communist Democrats that are not. Very sad, very unfortunate. We'll get our act together, I'm sure. 143 WJR. Here's your chance to win a trip to see two country superstars, Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan in Vegas. Double the hits, one unforgettable night. We've got your flights, hotel, concert tickets covered. The Double Down Tour, Aldean and Bryan co-headlining with special guests John Party and Chase Matthews, all live under the neon lights, prize provided by BBR Music Group. Text this hour's national keyword, COASTER, to 95819. That's COASTER, COASTER, COASTER. Text it to 95819. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Please, please don't text and drive. Official rules and more information at WJR.com. I have not been to Las Vegas in a while. Ma and Pa Kettle, Earlene and the late great Ron used to live there, so we used to visit them in Vegas. And I used to go to Vegas before that, too. But haven't been there in a long time. But I've always resisted using, I like slot machines, which is stupid, but mm-hmm. I like slot machines. I've resisted using the slot machines at the airport. At LAS, now it's Harry Reid International Airport, because slot machine airport slot machines are kind of known for having, shall we say, tighter payouts than the mega resorts on the Las Vegas Strip.
Where do they have the loosest slots?
I don't know that. If I did, you and I'd be on our way there right after the show. But here's what happened. A person coming through the airport, they have identified him just as Anthony, dropped $10 into a Wheel of Fortune slot machine and won $3.3 million.
So they're not due to give out another payout for a while.
Probably in our lifetime. But but the point is, when they do this, what this does is creates the image that, well, maybe they do pay out, and now they'll take in millions and millions and millions more before they have to have another payout.
Right. What's a $3 million payout when people are going to drop $10 million trying to get one out for themselves?
He will have to pay a 24% federal tax withholding on his $3.3 million prize, but Nevada does not tax personal income or gambling winnings. Listen to this story. I can't remember what hotel it was. Big deal hotel many years ago that we were staying in. And I weaseled my way into the high rollers slot machine area. And I befriend people, you know, and I interview people for a living. So I interview the people working in this high roller area. And I oftentimes get them to tell me more than they generally talk about, you know?
Right.
Now, I used to think I could ask them, which machine do you think is going to hit? But that's foolish because they don't know either. But I watched a guy at a slot machine far into the high rollers area. And he was putting in money, and I couldn't tell how much it was. And so I said, what if I wanted to play the machine like that guy's playing? What is it a pull? $5,000 a pull.
Wow.
And generally speaking, the rule in slots are you play the max. So it was a 2-coin pull. So that meant he was playing $10,000 a pull. Okay? Now, he's doing this, and then all of a sudden, the machine goes wild. The guy playing the slot doesn't even react. He just is standing there waiting for them to come and I guess do the payout. And I get the guy over. I said, what happened? I mean, he hit something big. And he said, he hit $1 million. I said, he just hit $1 million and he's not reacting? And the guy said to me something that I will never forget. He's down $5 million.
So he's only got four more to win back.
I was like, wait, there's a lesson here, Paul. Stay away from those dollar slots and certainly the higher slots. Stay away, for goodness sakes.
Wow.
Can you imagine standing in front of a slot machine, you just won $1 million and you can't be happy because you're still down $5 million?
And that man was Dave Rieger.
Well, I'm glad you said it. I didn't want to say it.
I would love to go to the Sphere in Las Vegas. That looks so cool.
Oh, I would too. Kim would like to do that. I would too. Yeah.
And I guess they do showings of the Wizard of Oz when there's no concerts there, so that even if there's not an act you want to see, you can at least experience it.
I think it would scare the hell out of me when the tornado is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're like getting dust in your face and straw, and you know, it's really something.
Yeah, it would be really good.
That place is making money, right? I know it costs millions and millions of dollars, but I think it's got to be considered successful.
They have to, because I mean, everything is sold out there. They're building something similar to it here, in like a mini sphere here.
Really?
Yeah, I think Rocket is building it.
And really? But where are they going to put it?
I know it's somewhere in Detroit. Let me see.
Mini sphere.
Yeah, it's going to be mostly for sporting events.
It's not one of those things we used to have at the Monroe County Fair where a motorcyclist gets in and starts going around in a circle and all of a sudden is on the walls. Right. And you go, that's unbelievable.
Right, except we're the ones on the motorcycle, which isn't a good idea.
No, not me.
So the mini sphere coming to Detroit is officially called Cosm. This immersive sphere-like entertainment venue is in Cadillac Square. 87-foot, 12K resolution LED dome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we should broadcast from it when it's open. It only takes money, so we'll see.
You know, I'm sensing a new tour. We're going to start the week at Mystery Hill, and we'll finish it at the Cosm in Detroit.
And there got to be some good places to eat along the way. So
yeah, in between.
We'll do all that. I'm going to be, I hope, although I did something to hurt my shoulder. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm not sure I'm going to travel at all. But I hope to see the family up north in, I can't remember where they are. But anyway, up at their lake, I hope I can see the little nieces and grandnieces and all of the, Jerome by some lake there. Bernie, and I don't want to start naming all of them, but all the family. I hope to see them for the holiday. What do you have planned?
Fourth of July itself, we're going to go to the parade in Wyandotte, and then we're going to grill out at my father-in-law's place, and yes, then we'll go somewhere for some fireworks.
Daniele?
I'm going to a lake over by Kensington. And so the lake that we go to, they do their own fireworks show.
Nice.
But then you can see Kensington's right after. So
just be careful.
Yep. It's going to be me and a bunch of Canadians. It's going to be awesome.
Do we have any patriotic music we can go out with? I didn't warn you about that. I don't even know.
Oh, we have some firework music.
Well, something. I need to read something that's, to me, it's touching because it's from my heart. But I want to thank Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger, Ann Thomas, Mike Kim Smith, and all the people behind the scenes that bring us this opportunity to bring you relentless, positive radio. And as we go into this 4th of July, hearing from all these people, at least in the news media, that don't care or don't believe being an American is that great anymore, I just want to say my father's family could, in fact, trace their family back to the Mayflower. My mother's family could trace her family back to the boat that delivered them from Lebanon. Two wildly different experiences. And I think it's a blessing to be able to understand what it means to be all American from the start. A further blessing to understand what it's like for people to leave their original home, their place of birth, to come to a scary new country legally, to give up what they had, so that their children and future generations could have an opportunity they could just not have had in the old country. So I feel fortunate to have had grandparents who spoke perfect English and grandparents who struggled with English as a second language. There is no doubt in my mind that this has fueled my love for America. And I know I'm not alone. So please have a very safe and wonderful 4th of July and 250th anniversary for this great country. JR Afternoon with the one and only Patriot Ryan Ermani standing by and ready to go. I think.
He will be ready to go in just a few minutes, but we finally found your patriotic music here.
A little late, but that's okay. Almost better late than never. There it is. You know, we used to have patriotic music at our fingertips, but we haven't had call for it a lot lately. Stand by for news and be thankful and grateful for this great country. I mean, we've just heard from people from all over the world telling us here for the World Cup how much they are surprised by how great America is and how great Americans are. We shouldn't need to be reminded, but it appears that we do. So let me be the first and last to remind you. Regards, Paul W. Smith.